Blog Talk Radio.
It's Film Festival Radio, the show where superstars and future stars happily coexist together. And now, here's your host, Janice Malone.
Good morning, top of the morning to you if you're having a good day. And well, if you're not, I guess that means bottom of the morning to you if you're having a bad day. But anyway, goes, we're right here. Brand new show and Film Festival Radio Show. Brand new show. All guests, all three of them have that new car, new guest smell to them. And I'm sure they smell great when they're not on our show as well. But anyway, we got a lot of show here. So let's get right to it. Our guest for this edition of the show is comedian, comedic actor, producer, writer, Athion Crockett. He is really a funny guy. We've seen him on MTV's Wild and Out way back when he first started. Recently saw him in Shades of Black with Marlon Wayans. He's just been in so many films with Kevin Hart, The Wedding Ringer, and Samuel Jackson. Just a variety of film and television projects under his belt. So he will be chatting with us in a few minutes. And after Mr. we will also be chatting with Julia Cato. And if you are a person who's young enough to have grown up with the Rugrats television show, award-winning, say Julia Cato is best known for the voiceover actress for the character Kira. Yeah. Kira, we've got Kira here, the lady who whose voice portrays her in the Emmy-nominated series Rugrats. It's been around a while, but she'll be talking to us about her career and how she got to be a voiceover actress, a very successful one, in fact. So we'll be chatting with her. And finally, to continue our theme of being funny and funny comedic people, we'll be chatting with Brian Volk Weiss, who is the president of Comedy Dynamics on the History Channel, Craig Ferguson's late night talk show, which has received top reviews when it first premiered. Join or Die is the title of it, with Craig Ferguson. And in addition, Brian Volk Weiss's Comedy Dynamics company, they create some of and work with some of the best and top comics in the business. To further mention, Kevin Hart, Bill Burr, Chelsea Percat, Jim Gaffigan, just so many of the top male and female comedians on television and films today. It's an independent comedy production and distribution company, Comedy Dynamics. And Brian is always on the lookout for top talent. So if you're a stand-up comic, he has some words of advice to you. He's been doing this comedy business, behind-the-scenes guy that helps to make some of these comedians today household names. So you might want to pay attention to what he has to say if you are thinking about becoming, or maybe you are a stand-up comic out there. So we'll get to him shortly. Now, we're going to start off. We will be appearing in Nashville. For those of you in the Nashville, Middle Tennessee area, maybe you want to drive up to Zany's Comedy Club here in Nashville. They're all the way up until the 24th. He is one of the most versatile entertainers, an accomplished actor, even a dancer, writer, rapper, comedian, music producer, director. His videos have racked up millions upon millions of views out there. And you can just go to, you know, Google his name, A-F-F-I-O-N, Athion Crockett, if you don't already know his, if you're not familiar with his YouTube channel, and just take a look and take a listen at how funny this young man really is. And, you know, just if you've seen him already in television and film, then you already are. So, okay, let's roll it with my recent chat with Athion Crockett.
Crockett.
Let's do it.
You are on a tour taller than TV. How did you come up with
taller
that?
Taller on TV.
Taller on TV, which is even crazier.
Mm-hmm.
How did you come up with that? And anything inspired that title or what?
Yeah, it's a pretty organic meaning. A lot of times I'll go to different cities and people will see me and say, hey man, you look taller on TV. And it's really that simple, but I think I get that from taller people. They're expecting me to be a giant, and then a lot of the people that I work with are shorter than me on TV, so there it is.
That makes sense. So for the record, what is your official numbers of height?
6'1".
Oh, that's tall. Oh, my goodness. What are you?
To me, it's not that tall. I feel like I'm pretty average height, but, yeah, I guess depending on who I'm around, then
yeah,
I'm pretty tall.
Yeah, if you're around LeBron and Kobe, well, Kobe's pretty kind of, that's tall
like
enough.
6'6". LeBron is like 6'9", I think.
Yeah, 6'15", or something like that, but... Yeah, that's good. That's 6'1". That is tall enough. It really and truly is. So, okay, what can people expect? You're hitting how many cities on this tour?
What are they expected from what?
I was just saying, first of all, how many cities are you covering on this tour?
Right now, 8.
Okay, so... what can people expect when they come? I know they're going to be laughing and having fun, but is there anything kind of unique and special about this tour that you're doing in comparison to maybe other tours that you've done?
Yeah, well, this is an extension of me returning to stand-up. I returned to stand-up about 2 years ago, and so over the last year, I've been going in and out. Different cities and just working on my stand-up hours to develop a stand-up special. It was just an extension of that. Taller on TV tour is for those people who haven't seen me live and they know my work and they know my characters. It's them now seeing Athion for his own voice on society and relationships and racism and religion. You know, I'm talking about a lot of relevant things, but in a very funny way, not too heavy.
Well, we need to laugh at all of those topics are so heavy and serious. It's not that they're funny, but we do need to lighten up. And thank God for people like you who can help us do that. Yay for you. I love that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now, okay. You're coming to Nashville. You're going to Zany's. How often do you get to Nashville? I shouldn't even say this, but hopefully, if you don't have to go to Nashville, don't go. But that's another story. So how often do you get to Nashville?
I don't get to go to Nashville as often as I'd like. It's been years since I've been to Nashville.
Okay, well, when you go... Oh, a
decade.
Now, there you go. A decade. Right. Like it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you're on your way, are you going to do the whole Nashville experience? Do you have people there, you know, signing you up for cowboy boots and cowboy hat fittings, or you don't roll with that?
Listen, that's why I'm talking to you. I want to be plugged into whatever's, you know, the culture of Nashville is. I'm coming there to tell jokes, but yeah, I'm hoping to receive something in exchange, you know. I want to bond with the people of Nashville
okay.
so we can enjoy each other's presence.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, yeah, we will do that. We will hook you up.
Mm-hmm.
We'll put you in some hat and boots and, just leave it at that. And let you live that. It's a good people though there in Nashville. It's just I'm not into country music. That's my biggest fault with it. But a lot of good people there, and I know they're going to be anxious.
Yeah, I'm not into country music, but a lot of great people. Absolutely.
Yeah. absolutely. Lots of great people there. Well, now, okay, speaking of the cities and locations and such, I understand you originally are from Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
What is the coolest thing about being from Fayetteville, North Carolina? The coolest, hippest, wonderful thing? Just tell me.
The coolest thing?
Yeah.
The coolest thing is that Fayetteville is an Army town. Some Air Force, but mostly Army.
Mm-hmm.
And it's composed of a lot of people from different parts of the world. So in a town that could be considered the South, it doesn't feel Southern because you have, again, influence from all these people that are stationed from, like, Guam and Trinidad, you know, Asia. Like, there's different people, or New Yorkers, or, you know, it's just so many different types of people in Fayetteville because of the military, and I'm a military brat. So, you know, that, to me, is the coolest thing.
So, I did not know that it was a military base there. So I need to do my homework more.
Oh, yeah, it's a huge hub. That's what Fort Bragg is.
I did not know that. I did not know that.
It's tucked away in Fayetteville.
So were you ever, you know, earlier in your life, were you ever close to going into the military, you know, like your family did, or what?
Yeah, my dad would have liked to see that, but I had different plans.
Okay, and they seem like they're really working out quite nicely for you. Quite nicely.
I'm a very determined guy, and I put those plans into action, and I just wouldn't take no for an answer. So moving to L.A. was the best thing that ever happened to me, or the best thing that I've ever done for myself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my dad, before he knew anything about the industry, he definitely was afraid of it and was afraid for my safety and well-being and success. So the safe bet would have been to do the military, but it just wasn't meant for me.
Mm-hmm. So have you had people from college or high school or hometown that, especially ladies, that, you know, maybe you had a crush on and couldn't get the number then, but now, they, have you had that experience yet or what?
Let's just say opportunities are always plentiful.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Just leave it at that. Well, somebody.
Like Mike Jones said back in the day, back then they didn't want me, now I'm hot, y'all the ball.
Hey, it's like that song, speaking of country music, How Do You Like Me Now? Remember that? Well, you don't listen to country music, but yeah, not quite. It's not happening. But
yeah.
But somebody told me to ask you, wanted me to ask you this, one of your fans wanted to know, you're known for your impersonations of so many famous people like Jay-Z and Chris Rock and all of them. And the person wants to know what has been the response initially from these famous people when they see, or have they seen your act, and what kind of reaction?
Well, you can check the internet. Like, a lot of those guys are fans. Jay-Z, Russell Simmons, like, I have videos with them in it, and, you know, with them acknowledging me, doing the impression. Me and Russell actually did a full series of comedy sketches where we're playing Russell. I'm playing his clone, called Hustle with Russell. So it's a big compliment when they all come up to me, you know, rappers like Nas that come up to me and say, man, why haven't you done an impersonation of me? So I think the way I do it, even guys like Drake is a fan of my impression of him. So the way I do it is still complimentary to them. And it's not disrespectful, so they, you know, they really like it. They dig it.
Well, I've just been handed a note from the same guy. He said I asked the question wrong. I'm sorry, Jamal. He said I left out the word initially. He said when you first started doing their impersonation, initially, you know, what was that like?
Same.
I've got critics.
Same thing.
Same thing.
The response was always the same. One of the first people that we impersonated online, I did Making the Band spoof, and my boy was actually playing Diddy.
Ah.
But Diddy reached out to me and was like, yo, I love these sketches, and he and I did a promo video for my sketch on YouTube. So,
okay.
Again, initially, it's always been love.
Yeah, I just got a critic over here just want to critique me, but that's okay, Jamal. You're fired. But anyway, now when you've done music and dance and TV and film and just so much great stuff here, but what is it about stand-up that you want to come back to it, you know, time and time again? What is it for you? What is it about doing stand-up on stage?
Well, I've only left it once for a long period of time, and this is my second time around. And it's just, for me, at this stage of my life, I feel like I've experienced a lot, and I have so much to say. And I like making people laugh. So, you know, a lot of people say that's a hard thing, it's scary, but for me, it comes natural. You know, I'm naturally an introvert, but when it comes to making people laugh, I feel like I have the rhythm that people are on when it comes to laughter. Something about the rhythm and the timing, I feel like I have it.
Yeah.
And it's enjoyable for me.
It takes a lot. I mean, the microphone, a stage, and a spotlight, and that's it for stand-up comedy. And people who can do it like you guys, it's a very special talent. Wow, I commend you. I commend you on that all day long. So what was it like working on 50 Shades of Black?
50 Shades, that was another, you know, great time working with my big brother, Marlon Wayans. He is, I've been a fan of the Wayans family. They're highly influential on my career since In Living Color, movies like Hollywood Shuffle, I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. So, you know, that's probably my fifth time working with one of them or on a project, maybe six. Oh. Yeah, it was cool. You know, the movie was pretty straightforward. It was a spoof on 50 Shades of Grey, and we had fun.
Definitely. We can see that. You guys had a lot of fun. Well, hey, you must be, the Wayans need to go ahead and just make it official and just adopt you as one of the Wayans here with all the great work you guys keep doing together.
Well, yeah, that was the ongoing joke back a few years ago that I am the adopted Wayans, so, you know.
Yeah.
I'll take it. As long as the check clears, I'll take it.
I don't blame you at all. I definitely don't blame you at all. So, okay. Who are, and this is another question. We got a lot of people standing around here passing me notes, wanting me to ask you questions here. This guy wants to know, his name is Brian, and Brian wants to know, are you a basketball fan? And if so, who do you like for the Final Four?
I am a basketball fan. I'm not a college basketball fan.
Ah, Brian.
Yeah, so I'm probably the wrong black dude to talk to. I don't fit the stereotype.
Okay.
I'm not ingrained in basketball like that. But yeah, I like to watch it when it's, I watch NBA games, and I follow certain players more so than teams.
Okay, well, Brian now wants to know who were your NBA favorite teams and players?
Players and teams, I study guys who had that extra thing, that greatness button, and there's a reason why. Like, I'm a fan of Bruce Lee, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Lee had that greatness button. I'm a fan of Michael Jackson. He had that greatness button. And anytime he pushed it, he turned into a beast. So when you look at, you know, guys from the Jordan era, from Iverson to LeBron to Kobe to even the James Hardens and the Russell Westbrooks and the Steph Curry, like, Steph Curry to me is such an amazing story because he's been in the league. He had, weak ankles and all of that, but he revived himself and he refined his body, started doing core workouts and all that, and now he's the talk of the NBA. He's like leading the pack, and he's a champion, like the current champion. So
yeah.
I study that. It's not just about watching the game. For me, it's about watching greatness and to see what makes people great, because I'm now translating that into what I do.
Well, I think that's a great analogy. Definitely a great analogy, because you're right. I remember when Steph kind of first got in the league, he's like, who is this guy? He looks like a little 12-year-old, but woof, now look at him.
Yeah, he looks six. Exactly.
Okay, six.
Yeah, he found his rhythm.
He did.
He found his rhythm, and he's unstoppable right now.
Yeah, I call him the babyface assassin. He's just amazing.
Exactly.
He's amazing. Well, okay, as far now, when your tour is done and what have you, any more films coming out this year that we can look forward to? Are you producing, writing, directing, anything like that? Independent project?
Yeah, I'm in produce mode now.
Okay.
I'm in produce mode, TV and film, and I got some stuff coming that you guys are really gonna love on all fronts too. Like I'm developing a cartoon,
a
sitcom, a drama, and a couple of comedy films too. So.
Oh man,
really
we
got my hands full right now.
You really do. Cartoons. Oh man, Boondocks. Every time I think of cartoons, I love Boondocks. I'm somewhere between Fred Flintstones and the Boondocks. That's me. Somewhere in there. That's me.
Yeah, Boondocks is definitely one of my favorite cartoons. I did a lot of voices on the Boondocks too, so.
You did.
Definitely a comeback.
Really? Who are some of the characters?
Oh, I played 50 Cent on an episode. Where he was Air Marshal 50 Cent. I think they were doing a Soul Plane parody. there was an episode where I played Usher. Tom was insecure that his wife Sarah wanted Usher. And so they did this whole You Got It Bad song, and I was playing Usher the whole episode. So yeah, it was a few voices I did.
Oh man, I did not know that. That's wild. I thought that was a lot. Was it as much fun as it seemed like for you guys being behind the camera and behind the microphone?
Was it much fun?
Yeah, as it was to us to watch it as viewers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's always a great time. And funny, the executive producer is another good friend of mine who's from Fayetteville. We went to high school together. Carl Jones, he was executive producer of Boondock. So, it's definitely a family situation.
Oh man, you guys are really putting Fayetteville on the map as far as entertainment is concerned. That's awesome. That's really awesome.
Well, we got to do it, you know.
Yeah.
J. Cole definitely is the young Simba, the lion leading the pack right now, and I like what he's doing and how he put Fayetteville on the forefront. So.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Maybe I should have been from Fayetteville. I could have been hanging with you guys. Oh, wow. Well. I'm stuck stuck with Texas. So what else can I say?
You know what Rakim said, anywhere you're from is where you're at. So wherever you at, make that your platform.
That's it, even if it's Nashville. Well, having said that, I know you got busyness to do, and me and all 5 of these guys in here, we really thank you for answering our crazy questions, and we look forward to seeing you at Zanies and TV and film and wherever else that you're going to be hanging out with your talent. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. I hope I see y'all out, and y'all come introduce yourselves, and we kick it a little bit.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have our boots on. You'll know us. Black folks with cowboy boots on. Can't miss us.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Okay, well, we'll see you when you get here. Take care now.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
Okay, then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, bye.
Okay, Nashville. Surrounding areas, if you want to get your funny on, you want to go out to Zany's and check out Mr. Athion Crockett. And he is, as you can see, and here he is, one funny guy. And like I said, if you have seen him in various films and television shows, MTV to Williams Brothers movies or all of the above, you already know what a talented guy he is. He is on the Crockett, Athion Crockett, taller on TV. So now we have the definition and the explanation as to how he got the title of his tour. Because, you know, that old saying, well, you look much taller on TV. So he decided to just take it a step further and just say, I think I'll hold my comedy tour taller on TV. So anyway, this weekend, in surrounding areas, Athion Crockett at Zanies. Okay, I want to remind you, you are listening to Film Festival Radio on the LMB Network, right? Yeah, right. But anyway, yeah, we got it right. We're going to move right along because we've got a lot of show to do here. Our next guest is actress Julia Cato. As I said earlier, she is best known as the character Kira on the pop culture phenomenally successful, internationally except of successful, I should say, award-winning television show Rugrats. She does Rugrats. She did Rugrats. Oh, sorry, 10 years ago. Then Rugrats in Paris, the movie All Grown Up. Rugrats Go the Movie. And she's just been Kira from the very, very beginning of this amazing series. The Rugrats received their Star Hollywood Walk of Fame about 2001. And they are just a world pop culture phenomenon. The Rugrats made news with the Splat, the new network from Nickelodeon, because they are now airing some of the classic Rugrats shows. So Julia is, you know, one of the original voiceover people for Kira, so she's right along there. And in addition to Rugrats, she has voiceovers for Steven Spielberg Presents Animaniacs, done voiceover for one of my favorite comedy shows, Married with Children, Batman, Iron Man, Superman. She's done voiceovers for TV commercials, video games. She's done modeling. She is a lady that has a lot of talent. And if you are ever interested about becoming a voiceover actor, actress, then I think that you need to listen to what she has to say. So let's now roll to my recent chat, like a few days ago, with voiceover actress Julia from Rugrats fame.
Somebody may have had a little typo there in the phone number, but that happens. But we're together. That's all that matters right now.
Yes, I'm so sorry about that. I'm so glad I'm able to reach you. I wasn't sure if I had maybe Eastern Standard Time wrong or wasn't sure, but I'm glad we're here now. So
yes.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Well, you are in a very envied position of billions and millions of children and adults, bigger children alike, starring as Kira, the voice of Kira in Rugrats. Now, I understand that you're also a mom. Are your children old enough to know about the characters and all of that, or what?
My children?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. One more time?
Yes, your children. Are they old enough to know about the character and what have you?
Absolutely. Yes, they absolutely know and loved it and still love it, and I'm very blessed. So it's a great thing. I'm so glad I'm able to do something that brings smiles to children's faces, including my own. So I'm very blessed.
What was the initial, after, you know, you got the job and what have you, and then it became so popular, what was the reaction from your kids, their friends, to know that their little friend's mom is doing the voice of Kira?
Well, at the time, they were very young, so I don't think they were at that stage at the time. But as the years went on, I think, they're very humble, so they don't really go and brag. But I think when, you know, people did find out, they thought it was very, very cool. And I think, you know, the show was very much a big hit and the hot thing on Nickelodeon. And so I think people thought it was very, very cool. And so it was a fun position to be in for them.
I bet. Well, as the world knows, now Rugrats is now appearing on Splat. I just love saying that word for some reason, the Splat. But with a whole different generation of fans. So are there any differences between this generation of Rugrats fans that are seeing it for the first time and then before when it first came out a decade ago, or what?
You know, it's really interesting because when the show came out more than a decade ago, I think most of us barely were just getting started on cell phones, and I don't even think there was a PDA phone. There definitely was no social media.
No.
Okay. So the only thing we had was the Knicks site and fans from that site and whatnot and TV, but there was really no, I don't think there was a Facebook or Twitter back then. There wasn't. So it is amazing with the revival on the Splat to see so many old and new fans come out. I'm hearing a lot from both, but I think the old fans are especially excited because it brings back memories, fond memories of their childhood. Like when you think back at your childhood, it's such an idyllic time, mm-hmm. and you always remember the cartoons you watched and your role models and what brought you a smile on your face before the reality of being an adult.
Yes.
So yes. I think a lot of them are very happy, and then I get you know, social media connections with them where they're even thinking about, maybe this story plot idea or this can happen with Kira. And it's just amazing to hear how much they still are such dedicated and loyal fans of the show. It's pretty amazing.
That's good. That loyal following.
And I think Rugrats timeless.
It is. It's almost like Star Wars and all of those fans. They just keep growing up with it. So.
Well, that's what's amazing about what I do is the work I do lives on forever in film and TV and cable and now Apple, right?
Yes.
And Netflix. So I think it's pretty amazing that I don't think every job someone does can live on forever, mm-hmm. you know, in some form. Like theater actors and actresses, you are there for that one moment, but you can't bundle that up and see it again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, I think there's a very amazing media that we're in where we can be revived, we can have fans of all ages because of the, you know, reruns. Like I think the Star Trek, like you mentioned, has fans every generation because of that.
Very
I think it's from the 60s, but even today, mm-hmm. it's such a big deal. That's why there was movies made recently, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, every generation. There's a whole generation of Star Trek people, Star Wars and all of that. You mentioned, made the comment about the work that you do. So to further speak of the work that you do, part of what you do, when you first started out, did you start off wanting to get into voiceover work, or did you start out wanting to do music or an acting or dancing or singing or you know, when in the early years for your career?
Well, I think first and foremost, I think everything, any type of acting, any type of anything in the entertainment is based on being a good actor. So, of course, I, you know, trained to be an actor, and then I just got very fortunate that I was one of my first few rounds of auditions happened to be for a voiceover cartoon, and then I booked it, and then it went on from there. And normally, in any other industry, they look for fresh new faces for commercials. They look for fresh new faces sometimes for on-camera work. But with voiceover, in our branch of the acting field, it tends to be that they like to work with the same people, you know, people they know they can count on, because really, because it's your voice, you can be so many people. You can be an old man and a teenager and a child and a teenage boy if you can mm-hmm. change your voice that way. So it tends to be a hard one to break into, but I was lucky enough to do that. So I've been very fortunate that I've been able to, you know, have mm-hmm. a career in it. So.
Well, you know, of course, within the last several months here, diversity in Hollywood has been a big social topic issue. And you are one of very few Japanese Americans in the animation voiceover industry who has achieved a major, major success like this. Are you finding your success is helping to open up even more opportunities and doors for Japanese Americans in the industry?
Well, I certainly hope so. I totally understand right now, especially at the Oscars. Around that time, I know diversity is definitely an issue, and I do feel many people feel ethnic minorities are not represented equally. And I definitely am very passionate about, you know, all those issues for all ethnic minorities, including Asian Americans, of course, as well. And I definitely think because Rugrats was such a you know, pop culture phenomenon in America and globally. It's mm-hmm. a very big, global, successful franchise.
Yeah.
And I think children are colorblind,
mm-hmm.
and I think race was never an issue on the show. but yet it also celebrated Kira's Japanese heritage. It was a very Americanized, blended family that they were. But at the same time, the producers made sure to celebrate their Japanese heritage, which I thought was amazing. So I hope that it opened up eyes and doors for people to be inspired to know that they were represented on such a popular franchise and show and movies. And I hope it encouraged producers to maybe keep that their eyes open that maybe more minorities should be represented. And I hope it inspired possible aspiring actors and actresses to know that maybe they have a chance.
Yes.
So if it helped anyone, I'd be very happy.
Absolutely. I think you very well spoken and very well explained, and I think people who, you know, just to be motivational for everybody that wants to do what you're doing, to just not even think about color and race, and just if you have the talent, just go after it. Go for it. 100%.
Exactly. And I think of hopefully that will be happening.
Mm-hmm.
I love the shows that have a great representation of what America is, and yet it's never an issue.
Yeah.
You know, that race isn't an issue. They just are people and human beings like all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then in animation, sometimes you're an inanimate object. Like I played a car once on something for Pixar, and it didn't matter what race I was. So that's nice, too. But,
that is nice.
But let's hope. I think Chris Rock's speech, opening speech, rocked the world, literally. Sorry, no pun intended. But I think he definitely handled it well, where I think it definitely he definitely let everyone know. I mean, that's a billion-dollar viewing audience, or not billion, but maybe million people watched that show, and he definitely made sure to let the world know that, you know, it's an issue. So hopefully it won't be an issue years from now.
Yeah.
And everyone will be equally represented and feel that they are just as can have the opportunities that everyone else does. So.
Yes, exactly. Well, this is my last question here. How has being the voice of Kira and Rugrats, how has that impacted your life and you and your family?
Wow, that is a great question. I absolutely feel it totally changed my life. It was, I would say, my big career break. When I joined the show, I joined the show, the franchise, by being introduced in the movie Rugrats in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
That was the second movie from the show. The show had been on nearly a decade already on Nickelodeon and very successful. And then they had the Rugrats movie, which was the first non-Disney animated movie to break 100 million at the box office in America. So that was huge. And then to come on as the second movie, I think they had a lot of buzz and aspirations for that. And then from there, I was able to join to become a TV series regular on the show. So not only did I get the movie, but I also got the TV series regular role. So it was a jackpot I hit. But not just that, but to be on such an iconic show that was so loved by fans for many years, that was an amazing opportunity. And I absolutely loved the character I played. She was a good person, a good role model, a good, you know, she had integrity. And I love that it was also a Japanese-American character. And I love that they became a blended family and it wasn't an issue and race wasn't an issue. And she actually eventually adopts Chucky, and Chaz adopts my daughter, Kimmy, and they become one happy blended family. And I know in the movie, the main storyline was for Chucky to find his new mommy, which I become. So can you imagine what great role that was to fill those big shoes?
Oh,
it was pretty amazing.
Yes. Oh,
and
that was.
And I also got to work with a very stellar cast, amazing crew and production, the best people ever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very blessed and very grateful.
Oh, yeah. That, what an impact this whole Rugrats project. It's more than a global phenomenon. Has just impacted your life and I'm sure in the lives of millions of kids out there, just made their little lives happy over the last decade. And now a whole different generation will be introduced to them. And that's just
thank you so much. I think with the power of social media and multiple now. Back when Rugrats started, I don't think there were multiple cable network channels. Mm-hmm. But now with the multiple even versions of Nickelodeon, where the Splat, Teen Nick, and I think it's definitely hitting different audiences and many different audiences in many ways. So I think the power of media mm-hmm. and social media has definitely revived the popularity of the show again, which is a
yeah.
blessing.
Yeah, very much a blessing. So tell me, what is your next project that you're, we can find your, you in, your voice, or maybe all
well,
of you?
I have a few possibilities in the works, so I definitely will be the first to let you know if, when it should come out.
Okay.
But
stay
always
tuned.
Keeping my foot in the door and... Yes, hoping.
Yeah. Well, in the meantime, we can just see you and hear you on Splat and just
Thanks.
Keep enjoying you from all your previous work.
Thank you so much. That, again, it's amazing how your work can keep being replayed over and over through cable and
yeah.
DVDs.
Yeah. So what is it like sometime maybe you're channel surfing and boom, there you are from 10 years ago?
That's happened many times, actually. In fact, it's sometimes it'll be usually sometimes the, for Rugrats in Paris, a lot of times they used to play it during Christmas or Thanksgiving on Nickelodeon or special holidays, so it's very special and nice to see it on again, and then fans tweet about it or will tweet me. It's very fun.
Uh-huh.
And
oh, wow.
I think it was a feel-good movie
mm-hmm.
with a happy ending, so I think people enjoyed that movie very, very much so.
Oh, yeah, the happy endings are all... I love, you know, when you can finally say, and they lived happily ever after. People still love that. They still do.
I think it's one of the best formulas for a magical movie in Hollywood.
I think so. It never grows old. It never, ever does. Well,
the
anyway.
Entertainment industry is what it really is an escape for reality.
Mm-hmm.
For it's entertainment, and it's a time to escape
mm-hmm.
your real world and get immersed and... feel the magic, and I think hopefully that's what we do.
That's what you guys do. You do it so well, and it is such an escape
Thanks.
For 2 or 3 hours or so, and hopefully longer sometimes, but yeah, that's what it's all about. Well, anyway, Julia, again, thank you so very much. It's such an honor to meet the voice of Kira, and I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate your time and your interview. It's such a pleasure talking to you, and I hope you and your fans of your publication can continue to enjoy Rugrats through the revival.
Ah, yes, we will. We'll put the word out, and they can, you know, digress back to their childhood with their kids this time, hopefully, and just make them have a lot of fun.
A whole new generation of fans.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, thank you again, and we will see you on Splat.
Thank you so much, Janice.
Okay.
And pleasure talking to you, and have a beautiful weekend.
Okay, same to you then. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Okay, that is actress Kato from Rugrats. As I said earlier, for those of you out there, maybe you've thought about wanting to get into voiceover work. Julia is a prime example of someone who had and is currently having a very successful career as a voiceover actress. Can't get into bigger rugrats, especially in the world of women. So that's her. So next time you and your little ones will watch Rugrats, or maybe you look at some of the old reruns on the Splat Network, you can say, hey, I heard Kira's real-life voiceover actress, Julia Kato, right here on Film Festival Radio Show. And looking at our tour, looks as if we're not going to have enough time to do our final interview. It's quite long. I kind of miscalculated on my time there with Brian Volk-White. So what we're going to do is run his interview next week. He is president of Comedy Dynamics. They are the producers of the late night show Join or Die, starring Craig Ferguson on the History Channel. And as I told you earlier, his company, Comedy Dynamics, is the best independent comedy production and distribution company in North America. They work with some of the top names in television comedy. They distribute and work with their comedy albums, their TV specials. Who are some of his clients? Well, we were talking about Kevin Hart, Aziz Ansari, Jim Gaffigan, as I said, Craig Ferguson, Chelsea Peretti, Cat Williams, and so many, many, many more. You are listening to me right now. We're going to roll with his interview next week. He had some very helpful information that he is sharing with those of you out there, men and women, transgender, LGBT, whatever your gender is. If you're funny, if you're talented, and you've got comedy in your heart, this guy is whom you want to impress. Brian Volk-Weitz, president of Comedy Dynamics, has some very helpful information with comedians and stand-up comics, especially stand-up comics. So we're going to bring you next time. So before we start, we do have time for auditions. Everybody loves auditions. And as always, if you cannot write down the information about the auditions, you can always email us, filmfestivalradio@gmail.com. We're right here. Just know you've done it before, and we'll send you the exact information that I'm about to share with you. Okay. We've all seen the show Cake Wars on the Food Network, one of my favorite shows, Cake Wars. So they are looking nationwide for amazing, talented bakers to compete for that $10,000 prize on an all-new season of the hit show Cake Wars. Yeah, you might, maybe. You know, the Fakatumi cakes and the butt cakes and, you know, the wedding cakes, all of what you guys and these guys and gals have been bragging about at the family reunion and the picnics and stuff. Well, maybe this opportunity to compete for a $10,000 prize on Cake Wars. They're looking nationwide. So what you need to do is email your name, your first and last name, your age, your telephone number, the city and state where you live, and a short paragraph calling the producers about you. Who are you? Tell them about your baking experience and why you think that you have what it takes and the Cake Wars television grand prize of $10,000. You also need to send a recent of yourself. That, which, you know, if you've got an iPhone or an Android phone, you can just take a nice selfie and send that. And that's pretty much it. Send an email, all of that, to this email address, which is cakewarscastingsuperdelicious, that's cute, .net. And again, that website, I'm sorry, that email address is cake, C-A-K-E, W-A-R-S, casting, C-A-S-T-I-N-G, at super, S-U-P-E-R, delicious, D-E-L-I-O-U-S, dot. Send your name, first and last page, your telephone number, the city and state where you live, and a short paragraph. Tell us about you, your experience, and why you think that you have what it takes to win Cake War. And also send, send a recent picture of in JPEG format, and this is what I left out. You need to send 5 pictures of the best ever cake, and they also need to be in JPEG. So 5, actually it's 6 pictures, one of yourself, pictures of your best looking kind cakes that you have baked over. And that might get you a spot to go compete on Cake Wars. It's just that simple. Okay. Okay, we have time for one more audition notice. This is a good one. There's a new television show that they are putting together, and they're looking for a couple whereby somebody in the relationship has been cheated on. I know. Nationwide, they're searching for couples where someone has been cheated on in that relationship. And if you are selected, you will receive help from a top relationship expert, and you will be a part of a new television documentary type series for a major cable network. Now, this is a real classy show. They're not looking for, you know, trash TV, you know, whatever, you know, everybody's fighting and pulling weeds. These are the terms here. Are you currently in a relationship that has suffered an infidelity? Has your partner cheated on you, but you still want to try to work it out? Do you want to do what it takes to save a relationship? So if you answer yes to any of those three, this is the show. With the help of an expert relationship therapist, you can get guidance on how to keep your relationship together. It's a positive show for an upscale major cable network. The program is speaking all types of couples, straight, gay, married, separated, dating, living together, etc. This is an upscale project and is meant to help people and not exploit your problems. They're going to have a therapist there who's a professional. The therapist is very successful practice in helping couples work through infidelity. Now, if you are selected for this show, you will receive free therapy with a top therapist, and you will also, you and your significant other will be paid if you are selected. Now, this needs to do. If you're interested, you need to send your name, first and last name, your contact telephone number, the city and state where you live, and a brief story about your situation and why you want this show to help you. Let's not write war and peace. We're just talking about, you know, maybe a solid paragraph. Don't do a whole page. That's too much. These producers are going to get maybe of submission. So you just want to get right to the point. This is how I normally reach people. Remember this. This is who I am. This is what I do. This is what I'm looking for. Can you help me? If you just follow that, those simple premises there, you'll be fine. So in a brief story about your situation and why you want help from this show. And then you need to send 2 to 4 pictures of both you and your significant other. And those also need to be in JPEG format. And you need to email all of that to this email address, which is popmagnetcasting1@gmail.com. That's popmagnetcasting1@gmail.com. And who knows, you and your significant other may get selected to be a part of the cast of this. And it does right here emphasize positive in all caps. Positive show for an upscale major cable network. So, if one of you has been cheated on, you might be selected, and you send in your information. And the other thing about this show, if you know someone or a couple or some one of the members has been cheated on, and if you refer them to the producers, guess what? You will get a $500 referral bonus just for referring them. Now, that is if they're selected. So if anybody gets selected, everybody will win. If you refer your, say it's your cousin or your neighbor or your best friend or whatever, and you know that they've had some problems, one of them has cheated on the other, and if you and the information to this email address, popmagnetcasting1@gmail.com, and say, hey, I know of this couple and they're selected, you will get a $500 bonus for referring. That's not a bad deal, is it? So you can just sit behind your computer, refer the right couple, and voila, you've got yourself $500. Okay. Well, anyway, we hope that you guys take advantage of these audition notices whenever we hear. I guess because I'm a big fan of that show. I love watching it. Some of those cakes are so fabulous and so pretty and fancy. They just cut the way you slice these kind of cakes. They're so gorgeous. I wouldn't even want to slice them. But I wish you all all the rest. If you can't, as I said, if you can't write everything down now, you can always email us, filmfestivalradio@gmail.com, and we give that information to you as soon as possible. I think we have time for one more audition notice. This one is kind of fun, too. Well, if you are in the age group of AARP, okay, from 50 to 65, they're looking for AARP members who are the category age group of 50 to 65 to be a part of a television commercial and shot. And let me tell you a little bit about that. They pay $400 for your time, plus a free membership extension and upgrade if you're already a member of P, okay? Looking for attractive, outgoing, engaging men and women, as well as couples, to just give their testimonial about being a member of AARP for a commercial. You've enjoyed a lot of the benefits of AARP. They want to hear from you. I know I have. I've enjoyed my membership over the years. I've been a member forever, it seems. This is what they're wanting you to talk about, your travel planning, if you've worked with AARP on travel planning, if you've saved money on flights and hotels, on cruises, rental cars, and retirement planning information, if they've helped you with that, family caregiving, if they've helped you with that, if they've helped you find a second career or job. It's just a long list. But if you want to participate, trying out to see if you can become a part of this AARP teaching commercial, you need, first of all, in the Sherman Oaks area. Yeah, you got to live in Southern California. And they're going to be doing these, so I just got this in. I wish I had known about this earlier. I would have shared it last week. I just got it in early. I mean, late in time. So what you need to do is your first and last name, your age, your telephone number, and tell which of the AARP benefits that you've used and that you like and that have really been a help to you and your significant other. And also send us a recent photo of you, once again, in a JPEG format. Send it to Karen's, R-E-N-S, casting@gmail.com. And once again, I know this is a little late. I got it late. I'm sorry about that. I normally don't do that. But they're going to be talking and interviewing today if you live in the Sherman Oaks area. And you might get it. Okay, we are just about out of time here. But as always, we want to thank all of our listeners for listening with us here on the LMB Network on Blog Talk Radio. And I cannot remember all the other places, but we want to thank all of you guys for listening to us as always. Receiving emails from you. Thank you for doing that. And next week, as I said, we're going to continue with the people who help us laugh, the experts in the world of comedy. Brian Volk Weiss, president of Comedy Dynamics, will be one of our featured guests. And we have some more. We have just finalized it yet. I don't want to talk about it just yet. But that's for next week's show. But for right now, knowing that, you know, trying to carve out a career as a stand-up comic, maybe they've just started, maybe they're through, you know, just about getting ready to break that national barrier, then you may want to tell them to listen to us next week so that they can hear the very helpful information that Brian is going to share with us. And he is a guy who's been, he's been and all this comedy. So he can make a career if he gives you the nod. That's how big this guy is. And he'll be our guest next week. But for now, we want to thank our two guests for this show, Afion Crockett. Funny, he'll be, again, at Zanies in Nashville this weekend. He is on the Taller on TV tour that he's coming into your city across the nation there, so you may want to go to his website to see when he's coming to your city. And we also want to thank Julia Hale, voiceover actress who is Kira on the mega hit pop culture phenomenally funny, phenomenally happy Yes, it's funny to kids, but it's also a happy show. Rugrats. It's, you know, they have the cute little voices, and they've got the cute little toys. If you're an adult and you don't have kids and you're watching Rugrats, I'm concerned. I'm really concerned about you. But Rugrats is for the babies out there. So anyway, thank you very much, Julia and Afian Crockett, for being our guest. And we are going to sign it off for now. So thank you for listening to this edition of Film Festival Radio, and we'll see you on our next show. Great weekend. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Film Festival Radio with your host, Janice Malone. Be sure to download this and other episodes at filmfestivalradio.com.